You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for years, Raising the Standard. So we welcome and greet all you listeners, no matter where you are, and we're just honored to be here with WCNO Radio and what they're accomplishing up and down the Treasure Coast and a lot of other places. And so I've been down to Fort Lauderdale sometimes in my car, and I can hear it down there even. So we thank God for what they're doing. And I want to say also, before we start, I'd just say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks, our sister church over on Andrews Island. We love them so much, and they're working away for the Lord. And so we just ask you to bless them. They have some needs over there, and we might mention that because we're going to talk about some needs here today. They're trying to get their roof on their new building that Roscoe's building, and they're about $6,000 short. So if you would have a desire to give something to that ministry, just send a check to our church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995, and mark it for Andros Island, and we'll make sure they get every penny of it, okay? So we thank you for thinking about that and asking the Lord. And so, you know, we've been talking about ourselves as well. We've had some shortage with finances here as well. And so we thought we might mention, you know, we've asked a couple of people stand up to the plate, hallelujah, and we're willing to take a couple of weeks of our program every month. So if there's someone out there that would be willing to do maybe just 1 week, you know, it's $165 a week.
So if
half a week for $82.50 or whatever, you know. So whatever God would tell you to do, you do it. And if you do what He tells you to do, you will be blessed. We know that. And so we're just putting that out there as well. We're not going off the air. We thought we were going to cut back to 30 minutes, but no, we're going to go on with the hour. We've been on here for 21 plus years, and we're going to continue to do what God's called us to do. And it's a very prophetic ministry, and so we're honored to be a part of, as we said, a part of WCNO and what they're doing. And so think about those things, amen? And we're honored to be here. So I got my precious wife across the table with me here, Donna, and we got Miss Margie on the right here with us today, and we're going to talk about some things today that are really prophetic. You know, we were just talking before we came on, you know, the deep things of God only come by the Spirit.
Yes.
And so, you know, the interesting thing I think all the time is when Yeshua walked the earth, He picked certain times of the year to say certain things. And it was usually around an appointed time, something that God had put in place. And the Jews that were around, they understood what He had to say. And so it's amazing if we just look at it, and it's all there for them back in that day. But guess what? It's for you and I today, because we're part of Christ. Amen? And so we're honored to share these things with you today, and we hope you can glean something from what we're going to talk about. We're going to go to John chapter 11. I like to talk about the resurrection and life that Yeshua brought to this earth. And because of Him, we're going to have a resurrection and life one day, whether we're put in a grave first or whether we're caught off this earth. That day will come one day.
Amen. I want to give our telephone number,
okay,
Pastor.
Okay, do that,
Jane. And say hello to everyone out there. Say hello to Roscoe and Audrey again. And you know that roof is going to be finished pretty before long. And totally, the concrete's all finished, and the walls are up. Concrete
That's right.
walls. And windows are already in, and you know, they've got a temporary roof on there just so they can have church in there on one half of the building, but, or one third of the building actually. But they need to get the roof on, so, and so, you know, $6,000, it sounds like a lot, but really
nothing
not
in God's
lot
hands.
As far as God's hands, and also with this radio broadcast, you know, even if you were to give $20 or $30,
that's right,
or $50, whatever, if you could commit to that, you know, every month, and we could remain on this radio broadcast for an hour, and we have had a lot of problems with our health, but God is restoring, and we're just trusting God for the things that he's doing. So I want to give our phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Amen.
Amen. So if you'd like to just give an offering for this program, Raising the Standard, send it to the same address, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip is 34995, and we'll make sure that's put to the church as well. So
I know many people are blessed by this radio, this teaching, yep. And Pastor Gene, you haven't mentioned your book lately, Pictures of the Messiah, but many people have ordered that. And
a lady called this week, didn't he? Order two,
yes,
more
we
books.
Had two, yes, and they in North Carolina, I believe.
Uh-huh.
The people are learning about the Feast of the Lord and the Jewish roots, and we're not trying to become Jewish, no, because Jesus is Jewish, amen. But what we are doing is teaching people about our heritage, about
our foundations,
you know, the old and the new, the mm-hmm. Old Testament, and we don't throw the Old Testament out because we now have the New Testament. No,
right.
They work together. It's like I say, there is a team. Whatever is in the old is brought forth in the New Testament.
Absolutely.
As well. Many
mm-hmm.
things are. So if you've been blessed, you know, give us a call. And if you'd like to help out with the finances, that would be wonderful. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So glory to God. So we're going to talk about the resurrection.
That's right.
And he's the resurrection and the life, isn't he?
He certainly is. So we're going to go to John chapter 11 with you. And we might wind up reading about all this, but there's three prophetic words that's mentioned, or really there's four prophetic words that's mentioned in this chapter that if we don't really look at it real close, we could miss what God's telling us, okay? And so that's what I want to try to bring into place. And we know this is the time that, let's just start in verse 1. We'll read some words here from the Bible, amen? Now a certain man was sick. His name was what? Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. So right now what? He's speaking something in the future, okay? You know, he's telling us something prophetic. It's not unto death, okay? But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So Jesus knew what he was doing and what was going to happen. Now let's go on. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now these 2 days are very important. The Bible says 1,000 days is like a day and a day like 1,000 years. So this is very important, these 2 days. Think about that. This man has done all these things in the New Testament and the Gospels. Yeshua, think about that. From the time he went back to be with his father, we're looking for what? A period of 2,000 years. And what's going to happen? There's going to be a resurrection out from among the dead, and there's also going to be a catching away. So it's going to be after two prophetic days. Isn't that interesting? So he's revealing something right here. So in verse 6, that's when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he was showing them something that was going to happen in the future. Let's go on. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, what? He stumbleth not. But he says, because he seeth the light of this world. I'm going to read that again. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. So who's the light of the world? His name is Yeshua. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. See, darkness is the opposite of what?
Light.
And a little bit of light will always dispel all the darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. See, he says he's not dead. He's just like sleeping. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He said he died. Think about poor Lazarus. God raised him with it. Jesus raised him, the God Son, raised him from the dead and healed him. Well, then he had to die again. So this man died twice, you know. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that?
Yes.
And we know Jesus is God.
That's right. And in verse 15 says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You know, they're willing to die, they claim. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now here's another prophetic word. We got 4 days. If you got my commentary, the book, it's available for $25.
And don't they say in 4 days they begin to stink?
That's right. And then she shall say this in a moment. So you think about this. So from the time that Adam was on the earth until the birth of Yeshua was a period of 4,000 years. So Yeshua is relating something prophetically to them that had already happened. He came after four prophetic days, 4,000 years. Here he is walking on the earth to talk to people and heal the sick and did the things that he did.
And doesn't it show in your book, too, that it's the exact 4,000 years?
It's exactly 4,000 years, yeah.
And you can know that by all the people's when they were born.
That's right.
The Bible's quite accurate.
Yeah, a Jewish Messianic Jew wrote a book, and I looked through it for days and days to prove. And he didn't know what was going to happen, but he was looking from the time that Adam was on the earth all the way through the patriarchs and the prophets and all that. And when he came down to the end, he couldn't believe it. It came up to the exact year that Yeshua was born. So that's when he came, after four prophetic days.
Amazing.
Why is there four candelabras in the temple of the women during tabernacles? It's because of the four corners of the earth. Jesus came, to go to all the corners, if you want to. That's what the Bible calls it. We know there's no corners, but four different places, that's what he came for. So he was revealing there also of the 4,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth until he walked in that temple. It's amazing.
And that's an amazing picture, because if there's four single lights, one in each corner, four corners, like a square.
That's right.
And the Bible talks about the earth, doesn't it? The four corners of the earth.
Yep.
And we know they were 75 feet high. And they were very light, and very made swaddling clothes were wrapped around them, and that's what was burning.
The light burning,
from the undergarments of the priests, and that people all around could see that, and it was in Jerusalem, right in the court of the women.
That's right.
That's in your book as well.
That's right.
Plus much more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. It's about 2 miles, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So Yeshua saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Isn't it interesting when it says Mary sat still in the house?
Uh-huh.
I wonder what she was doing.
Yeah.
Praying, perhaps?
Could be, yeah.
But she was still. She wasn't,
she wasn't
all riled up.
Nope, she wasn't doing anything. She wasn't doing any work. She just was resting. Verse 23, Yeshua saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now these next two verses are two more prophetic words, okay, to the future, okay? And part of it's for us even today. Verse 25 says, Jesus or Yeshua said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, though he dies, what? He shall live. So he's talking about there's going to be a resurrection one day for all the true believers in Messiah. If they die, they're going to be resurrected back to life. Now look at the next verse. It takes you out to the future, to a group that's going to be caught off the earth, will not die. Listen to this now. And whosoever liveth or is alive and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Is that referring to the catching away?
That's right. It's referring to the catching away. So here's another prophetic word we got in this chapter, okay? Now, verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with him in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They both say the same thing, don't they? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Why would he be groaning in his spirit and troubled? Because of their unbelief and their doubt. He just said that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. Verse 34, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now here's the shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 30, Jesus wept. And remember, he wasn't weeping because Lazarus died, because he knew he was going to bring him back to life. He was weeping because of their doubt and unbelief that he was the Messiah and he could do this. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Amazing.
Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. So they thought it was because he loved him and there was sorrow there. That wasn't what it was about. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus, or Yeshua, said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. So here's our 4 days again, okay? We're talking about 4,000-year period and all, prophetically. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee and that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Glory. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried out, he yelled out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. You know, in those days, they wrapped him with garments, so they had to unwind all that off his body. And I always thought about this, people before they come to Christ, you know, they're tied up with things that hold them back. They're bound with stuff that's wrapped around them basically in a spiritual sense. And so
he took... That is the spirit of death.
That's right. Really. That's right. And so he had him take those grave clothes off and saw him as he was before he died, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So when you come to the Yeshua, the Messiah, and you may be bound with a lot of things in your life, if you'll just do what he tells you to do in the Word of God, you can be loosed and set free from all that. He came to set you free, amen, to open prison doors and let us out. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Isn't that good? So a lot of people did believe, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. Now, listen to that. Here's another, some more prophetic words. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Boy, that's a prophetic word. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So that includes all of us. We're in this. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Verse 55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. So you see the time of the year that Jesus had all this happen. It was around Passover. So what happened at Passover? That's when Yeshua rose from the grave.
Amen.
Huh? During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he was the first fruits, okay? Isn't that amazing when you look at this? Hmm. Now, verse 56, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think you that he will do? What think you that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, and that they might take him. Now I'm going to go to chapter 12 for a minute or two. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Remember, from the time that Adam was on the earth, God has a 6,000-year program right now. It's about ready to come to an end. And when it comes to an end, what's going to happen? Then we're going to have Jacob's trouble come, and after that, the kingdom will be set up. So this could represent also a period of 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. It's in my book. I got a lot more to say in the book. So he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead when he had raised him from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat on the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mm. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given? Why was it not sold to, I'll say it again, why was not this anointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then Yeshua said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Yeshua's sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So they were curious, weren't they? Huh? It's amazing. But the chief priests consulted they might put Lazarus also to death. The second time, right? Because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Yeshua the Messiah. And on the next day, this was Nisan 10, this would be what, when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. People that were come to meet or come to the feast, when they heard of it, Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, and it's in Zechariah chapter 9, I think. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. What feast was that? Passover. Now I'm going to read a couple more verses and I'm going to stop. Verse 21. Then came therefore the same came therefore to Philip, which of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This next verse is very important. Verily, verily, he says, you can mark it down. I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Isn't that amazing? And he goes on about loving your soul and all that. So this pretty well shows us some very interesting prophetic things. And the main thing is that Yeshua was revealing to all those that were around that he not I'm going I almost said was that he is the resurrection and the life. And those verses we read in chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, prove there's going to be some people that's going to die, that'll be resurrected. And then in 26, there's going to be a bunch of people that's going to be alive when he comes back, and they will never die. They'll be caught off the earth. Glory to God. I'm about ready to shout. All right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Got something there?
You know, it's interesting, Pastor Gene, in verse 20, it says that there were certain Greeks. So there were people.
Oh, you're in chapter 12. Okay, chapter 1.
There were there were people, certain people that were not Jewish. They were Gentiles, you call them. And they were already coming after Jesus. They were already following him because of the miracle that they that they heard about.
They came up to worship,
Right, about Lazarus being. And so there were certain Greeks, it says, among them that came. They came to up to worship at the feast. So they, what did they were becoming? Seems like they were becoming believers already. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida in Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They wanted to see him.
That's right.
And so, you know, I thought that was really touching that he's, and this all happened when he raised Lazarus from the dead. This all happened during the same time.
That's right.
That Jesus was going to die.
Period of 4 days.
He raised somebody from the dead.
Yeah.
Just a few days.
Yeah.
Just a few days before he would die.
That's
And be raised from his resurrection from would be resurrected.
That should have been a clue for him, right? What was going to happen prophetically? What was going to happen?
Well, you know, they did have a clue because they went and they accused him of stealing his body.
That's true too.
So
yeah.
You know, and so and they wanted to seal the tomb.
Yeah,
because they didn't want him, his body stolen. They because it was spoken of that he was the Christ and that he would be raised from the dead. But the Jewish people, they totally came against all of that. They thought he was a false Messiah.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen.
That's good. Are you, okay, Margie, you got something you'd like to share there too? I don't want to take the whole time up.
Thank you, Lord.
But this is so important, this verse, in these verses.
Did you have something more, Pastor Gene?
I was just looking
Praise
at one
the
thing.
Lord.
Go ahead if you do.
I just was thinking about John 9:39, where Yeshua said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." In other words, they saw the miracles, but yet it was like they might as well have been blind. Huh? That's right.
Doubt
he goes on down, verse 40. "And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also?" You know, we got people in the church today that are blind to certain things. It's in the Bible. They say it's not for today, that God's done away with them. I believe every single word that I'm looking at in this book is still active today. And then verse 41, "Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth."
Amen.
How could you see and not believe something that happened, you know, when you see with your own eyes? But
you know, God sees everything.
He
and
sure
he saw
does.
This at this time. And the Bible even says that he did.
That's right.
So he saw exactly what was going on. If you look at verse 28 in chapter 12, it says, "Father, glorify thy name." Jesus said that.
Right.
Then came there a voice.
From
says
heaven.
There was a voice from heaven. So here's this voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, who was that? That was the Father.
That's right.
Because he's the one, he's the only one that could glorify it. It wasn't an angel. So he says, "I." And there's the word that says, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the people heard it. In verse 29, it says, "The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundereth. Others said, An angel spake to him." But we know who spoke, don't we?
Sure do.
It was God the Father. "Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes.
Right. And our sakes today, yes.
Right. Yes. Verse 31, "For now is the judgment of this world." And you know, he came for the world. He
That's
even
right.
said that. You already read that.
And when he died, that was that judgment came. That's why he said now, right now.
"And now shall the prince of this world
be cast out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Referring to his death being raised up on a cross.
From the earth will draw all men. And so he's not just talking about the Jewish people.
That's right. All men, he said.
All men.
Mm-hmm. That's That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna read a couple verses in chapter 14. Well, then we'll let Margie share here. Chapter 14, verse 1.
Okay.
Let not your heart be troubled, the Messiah says.
Yes.
Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now people have a hard time doing that today. They don't want to call Jesus God. He is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In my Father's house are many mansions. Just to think about it. We got a mansion prepared up there if we're walking with the Lord. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, for his disciples. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Yeshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Hmm? Now, you could talk about that for a long time.
Sure could.
Because a lot of people believe that there's more than one way to get to heaven.
That's right.
But Jesus made it clear that mm-hmm. no man cometh unto the Father but by him.
By him.
So that's the only way we can get to the Father is mm-hmm. by Jesus Christ.
That's right. So he's prepared a place for those that believe.
Because,
so,
you know, God laid down his deity.
Sure did.
And he came to this earth as a man, so that he's the only one that could die and that would forgive sins and that would cleanse us from our sins.
He identified with us, didn't he? Yeah.
And then I like verse 7. It says, Jesus said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now, how did they see him? They were looking at Yeshua, weren't they?
That's right.
They were seeing Jesus. And
that's right.
That's another thing. Shows you that Jesus is
both of them
God.
Have the same attributes and qualities, don't they?
And then Jesus said in verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and ye hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
That's right.
There's your proof.
Yep.
You know, the King James Bible always shows the answer, the proof. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
Mm-hmm.
Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me.
Hallelujah.
He doth the works.
That's right.
Believe me that I am in the mm-hmm. Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake.
That's right.
Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Yes.
And greater works
Whoa.
Than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He had to go unto his Father, and then mm-hmm. we could go on and say, you know, because he had him and his Father sent the Holy Ghost. They sent the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost might dwell in us. Amen. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah. And whatsoever you do, ask in my name. So when we pray, we pray to the Father
in Yeshua's
in the name.
Name
of Yeshua, name of Jesus.
That's right.
That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Mm-hmm. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
And Jesus said, he's a great intercessor. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, who's that?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That he may abide with you forever.
That's right.
I love this chapter.
I like
even
all.
Verse 17.
I like all of John.
Even the Spirit of Truth. Because it's the Spirit of Truth.
Yeah. Yes.
Whom the world cannot receive.
That's right.
Because it seeth him not, neither mm-hmm. knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Who's going to be in you? The Holy Ghost.
That's yes. right.
So if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Father and the
Son.
You have the Godhead. And the King James Bible is the only one that calls it the Godhead.
Mm.
The Godhead. I will not leave you comfortless. Who's the comforter? The Holy Ghost. I will come to you. Amen? So we could go on. I love this whole chapter. It's so good.
Sure is.
27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
What a peace it brings for us, doesn't it? To know who we belong. We know him and who we belong to. That's what counts.
Amen. And you know, Jesus had the right order, too, with the Godhead.
Right.
And it shows it right here in 28. Mm-hmm. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. He's going to come back again very soon. He says, if you loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I.
Right. There's a hierarchy in heaven as well. You're going to find out if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is, that when all the enemies will be put under Christ's feet at the end, and all, it shows you right there that he's going to give it all back to his Father. It's all going to be given to the Father. So there's an order in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus did every commandment that the Lord gave him to do.
That's right.
He obeyed every single
word. If not, he couldn't have been the Messiah.
Yeah, it said. And it shows that in verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do.
That's right.
So he was going into Jerusalem. He knew that something was
He knew his time was up, didn't he?
And as
his
you know,
purpose.
Other people knew it too, but how many people do they say hallelujah, you know, and lay down garments? And so he would write in as that prophetic, there's a prophetic word too about how he would enter Jerusalem.
That's right.
And where he would enter Jerusalem, from what gate. So all these things, all these prophecies have been fulfilled that we're talking about. And that's in your book as well.
That's right.
Glory to God.
All right,
well,
Ms. Margie,
you have something to share, my dear?
Sure she does.
Praise the Lord.
She's bubbling over here right now.
Hallelujah.
Listening so intently to the word. And
thank you, Lord.
John is a wonderful book that
sure
expresses Jesus' love for his people.
Yeah, boy.
So as we were doing chapter 11, John chapter 11 today, it was around the time of Passover.
Yeah, just before that.
Mm-hmm. And this chapter is about Mary.
Excuse me.
And Martha and Lazarus. And the most important is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as Pastor Gene and Donna was just speaking. In verse 3.
What, chapter 11?
Of chapter 11.
Okay.
Lazarus was sick, and Mary and Martha called for Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. In verse 4, I'll read. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. So I had to read that a couple of times.
That's right, powerful.
Jesus intentionally did not come when he got word that Lazarus was sick. Our ways are not always his ways. We can, you know, call upon Jesus for any affliction or any situation, and we want him to come pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But Jesus knows, just as he knew what the opportunity that Jesus had to show the people about the coming and the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loves us, and he wants
That's right.
Jesus to heal us quickly, too. As I just said, there is a purpose and a timing in all of God's ways.
That's right.
That he may be glorified in everything that we do. we should desire for God's glory to shine through us.
Yes.
Jesus delayed his coming to Lazarus for God's purpose.
Yeah, for that purpose, that's it.
Jesus knew the sickness was not unto death. It would be life and eternity in God's kingdom. So even though that there, he did die, God, Jesus knew that there was life. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, because he is the resurrection and the life.
He is the resurrection and the life.
He knew what was going to happen, yes.
Praise the Lord. In all of our pain, afflictions, sicknesses, all of these can be used for the glory of God. We want to give God all the glory.
Yes.
We are his children, and we want to thank him. And that is a way of thanking him. You know, we shouldn't want to do our glory, our thing. We want to praise him.
Yes.
Because he is our Father. Don't we thank our Father, our earthly Father, mm-hmm. when he does something for us?
Yes.
Any kind of kindness, or if we have to go to the doctor, our mother and father take good care of us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. In verse 9 of chapter 11, are there not 12 hours in the day? Mm-hmm. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Jesus is the light. We live in the world, and it's getting darker day by day. But the word of God is a lamp unto our feet.
That's right.
To keep us from stumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse, that he is a lamp unto our feet, is found in Psalms 119, mm-hmm. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
We used to share that with the children, didn't we, down with the young people when we had youth years ago down in Fort Lauderdale.
Amen. In verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth,
mm-hmm.
because there is no light in him. If you walk without Jesus in your life, being born again, if you're not born again, you will stumble. You will not have that protection.
That's right. You'll make mistakes, won't you?
Many mistakes.
That God would rather you not make because you don't know him.
Amen. He knows the right way that we should walk.
That's right.
There is no light to shine on the dark path.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus in us maketh us a light unto others that don't know him. So we need to keep that light on at all times.
Mm-hmm.
In these two verses, there was no danger as long as he, the Father, Jesus was doing the Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus always walked in the light of the Father. In verse 22, thank you, Father, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And you can see here that Martha believed. Martha believed.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was wondering, you know, as Pastor Donna was wondering about their faith. Did they have the faith that they knew to call on Jesus? They knew to call upon him. So they had faith, but they were expecting Jesus to do it right when he got there.
Yeah, right away.
He was going to come quickly.
Yeah.
So here we know the word is showing us it's not always what we want and our timing. And in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And as Pastor Gene said, that he saw their doubt and unbelief.
Unbelief, that's right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He was very disappointed.
Yes. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?
Amen.
God wanted Mary and Martha to see the glory of God, calling Lazarus out of the grave. Do we believe?
That's right. We have belief, yes.
In verse 42.
Only believe, yeah.
Only believe. Mm-hmm. In verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
That's right.
So the Father and Jesus knew the purpose of
That's right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Martha and Mary might not have at the time. Thank you, Father. The Father hears us always, just as the Father hears Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus wanted the people to know that God sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins,
yes.
that we have everlasting life. Not everlasting death, but life.
Life.
Through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yep.
Verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he used Lazarus to show this, where some of the people that had doubt and unbelief. And verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Yes.
He's asking us,
mm-hmm.
believest thou this? Those who sleep in Jesus will be raised from the dead when he returns. And those that are still alive when he returns, they will never die. They will be in a twinkling of an eye. They will be lifted.
Yes.
They will be immediately changed. And in 1 Thessalonians, does somebody? 1 Thessalonians 4:13.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Yes.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yes.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air,
mm-hmm.
and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father. Jesus was teaching them that life was in him. I have a few other scriptures. Job 19. 19:25.
Mm-hmm.
For I know that my Redeemer liveth,
yep,
and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, this body, yet in my flesh will I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me.
It's good.
And you know, a very good one, Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna, is John 3:16.
Yeah.
I always...
For God so loved the world, huh?
Yes.
That he gave.
His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting
life. Hallelujah.
And verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but have the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. John 6 also, if we can go there. 6 verse 40, I'd like to share, if we have time. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him,
yes,
may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. As this chapter showing us, Jesus was giving an opportunity for manifesting God's glorious powers. Let us also be ready to tell others about God's glory.
Yes.
And his message of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I was thinking about what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 3. You might just read a couple, three verses here.
Yes.
And yes. I'm going to start in verse 9.
Yes.
It says, and Paul says, and be found in him, in Yeshua, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, the legalism of the Torah, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, we're talking about resurrection.
Yes.
And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Yes, Lord.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ, for the purpose of what? One day being resurrected. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So that's the key. And so Paul knew there was going to be a resurrection too, and he preached it. That's why he was put in jail, because he kept preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. So there might be someone listening to this program today, you know? You may think that you're okay. I've had a lot of people tell me that. Say, "Well, I'm not so bad, Pastor Gene. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't do this, do that." But if you just made one little mistake, you need a Savior, and the only one that can save you and your soul is Yeshua Himself. And we read that in Mark chapter 14, verse 6, didn't we? And so the key thing is we have to humble ourselves and know that we're going to be absolutely nothing without him if we don't allow him to come. And my purpose, walk on the earth, I want to see him forever and ever and ever. That's what we want to see. Not just for 80 or 90 years or 100 years, but forever. And the only way you're going to have that is through Christ Jesus. So he's got open arms right now as we talk on this radio program. He's got open arms for you to come unto him. I had to do it one day. And it was a struggle for me, just like it is for a lot of people, because I thought I wasn't so bad. But see, we're all bad, and we need a Savior. And when you have him in your life, everything will change. I mean, he'll come in and turn everything upside down within you, and you'll say, "What in the world has happened to me? It happened with me." But you see, as you stay in that place with him, you're going to see he's going to be the one that will change you. So you come as you are. Just come as you are and say, "Lord, I know I've sinned and I failed, and I need you in my life. And that's the first step. And you'll, by faith, he'll take you down to the edge of the water, and then you have to make the last step. He's not going to push you into the water to receive it. You have to make that final step and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to come unto you. I'm giving you my life. And from this day, I'm asking you to walk with me, talk with me, and do all the things that I have you want me to do in my life. And start reading your Bible. Go to church. Hear the Word of God. Put it in your heart, and you'll never be the same again. It happened with all of us in this room. Yes. We had a day we had to have that happen. And it was a major thing for me because I battled it, and I got saved at 42 years old. And if you look at history and statistics today, anybody over 40 years old, if you get saved, you're in about the 3 or 4 percentile of getting saved, because after you're 40, most people are pretty well set in their ways, and they won't come. But I had the same feelings and all that. But yeah, I finally made that decision, and I'm so glad that I did it, because from that point on, when Don and I stepped into the kingdom of God, our lives were never the same again. We never looked back one time. I never wanted to be the old Gene. I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. Anointed of Yeshua, and we're in the body of Christ. And so he started something new with me and you and everybody else, if you'll just come to him. That's all it takes, is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want you more than life. And all you have to do is just bow your knee where you're at home, and where you're, no matter where you're at. Park your car, get in your car. If you're taking a shower, sleeping, wake up. All you got to do is just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm asking you, would you please come into my life? And you know what? As soon as you do that, he'll be there that quick, and your life will be turned around. And I'm telling you, I guarantee it, you'll never be the same again.
All these things we've shared, it has to do with our faith.
That's right, faith.
And, you know, all it takes is faith to be saved. And one scripture says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So the peace of God will come, and you'll be saved, and then you can go on with God. Because, you know, this woman he spoke to, she had many sins when she said that. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here with Miss Margie. And on this program, every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. So we pray that you enjoyed this. It's also on the Facebook, so you can go back and you can listen to it on Facebook, or you can watch it again. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I want to mention that we will have Shabbat this afternoon, on Saturday this afternoon at 2 p.m., 2 to 4, at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, and that's at 445 Osceola Boulevard. So God bless you. We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
And we tell you as we close this program to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.